Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Do you have health insurance? If not, this is a great time to get it. The high-quality health plans at healthcare.gov are now more affordable than ever. How much you pay is based on your income. 4 out of 5 people qualify for a health care plan of $10 a month or less. For free help enrolling, call healthcare.gov at 1-800-318-2596. 1-800-318-2596.
Welcome to Cop Shop. We're here live in the studio, which it's been a little bit for us, but here we are. And Chief Hebby, of course, is with me. It's just us two this time.
And I am trying to get set up on social media. We're chasing it a little bit today. unlike every other time when we're always chasing it too. But
we're a little rusty. It's been a whole month.
It has, but you can watch. You can watch us live on KSJE's website, and we're sharing it on Farmington PD's and on my personal Facebook page. So with all of that said, it's good to see you again, Nicole.
I know. Yeah, you too.
It's been a while. we haven't been in the live studio, the mighty studio of KSJE.
It's really great to see Scott. Like, I feel like we haven't seen you in so long, and it's just so great to see your face.
Yeah, it's less universal happiness about seeing him, but I get what you're saying. But yeah.
Good. Humble. Thanks, Eric.
It wouldn't be a Cop Shop episode if the chief didn't give Scott a hard time.
I feel like we've had a great relationship for years, so.
Glad you
did that.
Thank you. Well, we're in the middle of a heat wave that looks like it's only going to get worse here over the next few days.
Yeah, it's been hot. We definitely live in the desert.
And it's going to be up to 100 per later on this weekend or early next week, so hot and getting hotter.
But it looks like it'll cool off a little bit next week, huh?
Yeah, down to 92. So, otherwise, it looks pretty hot. So I think we're not the only ones across the country. My dad back in Wisconsin is saying they're in drought-like conditions and they've had it hot. So. It's been an interesting start to the summer.
We are, as the city of Farmington's, in our kind of drought warning where we're asking people to voluntarily conserve water, and it's hopefully will help us get through this hot streak in the summer so that we don't have to mandatorily conserve.
Yes. We've gone through that a couple of years ago, and it looks like we're back staring at it. So we've had a busy few weeks here lately.
We have. It's been hectic. But really, I mean, good things are coming out of it. It's just been hectic.
it has been hectic. So we have posted something yesterday on our officer-involved shooting that happened May 10th. That has definitely been one of the things that we've been working to provide you with all the information that we know at this time about that incident. Those are always difficult situations. Police take lethal action against a citizen. It's traumatic for the department and for the officers, but it's traumatic for the community, and we do know that. So you can look on our Facebook page. I know KSJE has it. I think Scott's got it up right now on his website. The Daily Times has it. And really, we did our best to kind of map out what had happened. But in short, we had a gentleman that was walking around the downtown Farmington area with a handgun and firing off rounds kind of randomly, near as we can tell at this stage. We haven't found anybody that's reported any shots at them. and we haven't found any damage to any buildings that he was shooting up. It appears he was just shooting into the air. But that went on for a couple of hours, and it kind of goes a little bit, Nicole, to what we've talked about before with the Real-Time Crime Center.
Yeah.
You know, as we expand our ability to have cameras downtown, it, you know, our ability to find and speed up the process of catching someone who is doing something like this will be greatly enhanced. But in this case, yes, it took us a couple of hours before we could locate him. And then, unfortunately, he made the decision to pull out his gun and point it at the officers as they were first arriving, and the result was he was shot. He's still alive. Our officer did a good job of providing immediate medical care. But you can see the entire statement, including some of the maps and including some of the 911 calls that we received that prompted the search. And this we handle actually a little differently than we usually do.
Yeah, we typically don't show any of the body camera footage or, you know, anything other really than your recorded video statement to the community on our social media. So this, we kind of broke from that policy in the effort to just kind of meet the community's expectations. I think the last couple ones they've wanted us to show our footage instead of finding it through the media. And so we felt like this was one where we had a lot of surveillance footage and stuff like that from different businesses in the downtown area. And so we felt like it was one that we could, you know, lay it out very carefully and show the community as transparently as we possibly could what went on. And so it was something new for us, but I think the community appreciated it. The feedback that we got on Facebook seemed to be that they appreciated that.
So that's, you know, you never really know. I'm not a social media expert. I'm just kind of mucking along too, trying to learn. And that's been my policy. Is I wasn't comfortable putting video of police taking that sort of lethal action. Nobody should have to watch a loved one being shot or killed on Facebook. You know, we do lots of clowning, we do lots of serious things, but we do lots of lighthearted things on social media. So I've really just had a proclivity against it. But you're right. So many people are watching social media, and it was a chance for us to get the message out broader, and people, otherwise we were sending them off to try and find it someplace else, and there wasn't always happiness with that. So really it was my decision in the first place that was kind of our policy, that we wouldn't do it on social media. And in this case, we kind of went against that. And probably we will continue to go against it, and we'll release a little bit more footage on our social media pages. In this case, just like every shooting over the last 7 years that we've been involved in, we worked with the district attorney's office. We showed them the video, and they were able to meet with the family and let the family see the video, answer some questions the family may have. Again, you know, just from a human perspective, I don't think the first time you should see it is when you're watching the news or something like that. So we wanted the family and the DA's office has worked consistently with us to facilitate that and allow the family to come in and see what happened and then ask some questions. And then following that meeting, we then released it to the media and put it on our social media.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that, you know, we do stress that this person that's involved in this with us is a community member, and to, you know, take into consideration that they have friends and family in the community too. Yep. And to be sensitive to that. And so that's why I feel like it was a big decision for us to break from our policy. And it's a big step that I hope our community realizes, you know, does have an impact on everyone in our community.
Right. And not a decision that we make lightheartedly. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it was my decision really up till now not to do it this way, and we went against it. So do take a look at it. We, as always, are interested in your feedback. There really were some good questions that people were posing. There was a lot of support. There were a few comments, and then there were some questions, and one of them is that it does seem like there's been a lot of officer-involved shootings in San Juan County over the last year to 2 years, and I don't disagree with that. This is our third in about 7 months, which is way higher than our normal rate. I don't really know what to make of it. I think there's probably a combination of reasons. Some of them is just luck. Our officers do face, and we've talked about this on the show, we've even shown some video of other incidents where our officers are able to de-escalate things, and it doesn't end in a shooting. But in the first one back in December, it was kind of multi-jurisdictional with the state police and the sheriff's office, and it was our sniper was involved in it. The subject had a gun, a pretty good criminal history. He'd been eluding the sheriff's office, and he pointed the gun at a passenger in the car after a standoff with us. There wasn't a whole lot of choices there. The next one was the subject that had brandished a gun and assaulted a neighbor with the gun and gone back to his residence and eventually throws the gun out when we arrive, but then throws two bottles filled with gas that are lit, Molotov cocktails, at us. So again, not a lot of options for our officers. Tough to de-escalate under those circumstances. And in this one, really, when you watch the footage, it goes so fast. From the officers getting there to getting out of the vehicle, they attempt to engage him. Subject doesn't say anything, and within 3 or 4 seconds, he's picked up a gun. He's walking towards an officer and pointing the gun at the officer. Again, does not give officers much time to establish any sort of rapport. And, you know, the only thing you can really say about de-escalation is it takes some cooperation to make that happen. The subject has to be willing to talk with you. But if he escalates and is pointing a weapon or throwing things at you, like a Molotov cocktail, it really starts to limit our choices. So we are concerned, too, about the volume of officer-involved shootings and what it says also about just in general what our environment is in this country, where we have really, over the last year, made it clear our feelings about police aren't always positive. But sometimes, in a country that has struggles with mental health, sometimes, you know, we whip people up into confrontations with police because of the rhetoric. And so that is something that we have talked about here, is let's try and dial down some of the rhetoric. Police are not all universally bad. And in this case, you got to see our officers in action, frankly. As soon as the shooting stops and the subject is down, our officers race up and begin applying medical life-saving measures that do save the gentleman's life. So he is in an Albuquerque hospital right now, but would not have it until you see the video and you see what the officers are facing. They really did a fantastic job of making the transition into life-saving mode.
They did, and they transitioned almost immediately into, you know, when he, you know, puts his hands up and puts the gun away from him, they immediately get to him and start helping him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the situation that they wanted to be in, but they all acted so proactively under pressure.
Yeah, I thought so too. So we as well are worried about the volume of officer-involved shootings and just the level of violence, period, in Farmington, in the San Juan County area. That's what we do on a day-to-day basis. So we are interested in your comments or questions. Take a look at it on any of the websites that it's available. And you can see what we are facing that day, and you can see what our statement is about it.
And so this week was really busy for us because we had the new and future chief training in Rio Rancho. And that was kind of part of your duties as the president of the Chiefs Association with the Municipal League and kind of your baby, if you want to talk more about that.
That kind of was my baby. So developing the next generation of law enforcement leadership to me is vital right now. You're seeing a lot of chiefs across the country that are getting out of the business. It's not just chiefs. You're seeing other senior command staff and senior officers that are leaving the profession. So how are we going to continue on? What does that look like, and what kind of training can we provide to help as we're getting new chief executives? And so this was a training that I wanted. We don't have one here in New Mexico. This was the first one we've ever had. Other states do have some of this training, something derivative of it. So we actually had a chance to look at what was going on in Oklahoma, which Chief Steele from Rio Rancho was down. He came from Oklahoma. They had a future chiefs training. Florida does a pretty good job of it. And so we took some of the classes that they had and we kind of farmed them out to chiefs across the state. And for this week, we had 23, both combination of new chiefs and people interested in being a chief here in New Mexico, attend this week-long class. And Nicole and I went down and did a presentation on social media and working with your community.
Yeah, we did. And we're only supposed to teach for an hour, but we taught much longer.
We did. And up on KSGE right now is a photo of the entire class that was down there. I'm You can probably see my gray hair stands out against the green trees, I guess, so I'm not that hard to find. Nicole is not in that picture. That was the final day of it. But we had chiefs really from throughout the state that showed up over this week. I know our attorney, Jennifer Bracal, went down and she taught a class. I think the Clovis police chief and deputy chief were there. We had a couple of our command staff that were there. We had Captain Kyle Dowdy and Lieutenant Corbin Davis that attended the full week. So, you know, this is something that has been a passion of mine, is to get this started and to see if we can start helping to make the transition from commander into chief. And then when you're a chief, you know, as a new chief, have some resources, have some networking for others who, like me, you know, when I came in here, I didn't know a lot of people in New Mexico, like maybe two. and so there was a lot of learning on the fly. And in my career back in Anchorage, there wasn't a lot of talk of how you develop into being a chief. What are some things that you should focus on? And so this was a chance for us to kind of share with command staff around New Mexico, here's some of our experience, and here's how you can succeed. And honestly, right now in New Mexico, not just rank and file officers, we need good law enforcement leadership. And so hopefully this class was a first step along that path.
Now, I thought it was really great that we were sharing resources and helping, you know, you guys essentially were helping each other be better and saying, you know, if you have questions, you're a smaller agency and you have questions about things, policies or, you know, odd investigations that you come up on or something like that, then reach out to us. When everyone was exchanging cards and, you know, resources, and that just makes the whole state better. And, you know, like you said, investing in that leadership so that we do have good leaders, that we're making good decisions all over the state and making each other stronger.
So, you know, I think we've got lots of things that we can work on and we can do a better job as a police department, and we focus on that every day. But one thing I think we do a pretty good job of is our social media presence and our interactions with the community. And so, you know, that was the point of the class with Nicole, going down and kind of walking them through, you know, A, what are some of the things we've done, B, what were some of our success and failures. And sometimes you learn more from your failures than your successes. But for in particular smaller town chiefs, that maybe this hasn't been their tradition, is to have that kind of an active presence and to be thinking along those lines. You know, I thought it was real valuable. I thought you did an excellent job.
Thank you. You did an excellent job as well.
Thank you. So I think actually the both of us have done just an excellent job. Maybe we can spend the next few minutes talking about that.
I don't know about that.
You've got something else to plug.
I do. So June is Pride Month, and DJ's Way, which is a nonprofit organization engaging in suicide awareness and mental health within our community, is hosting a Pride in the Park event at Berg Park. It's going to be on June 19th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And what got this on our radar was we had reached out to Identity Inc., who we've partnered with previously, and fundraisers and that kind of stuff. They no longer have a brick and mortar
resource center.
Mm-hmm. They're still offering services, but they are looking to get into a building again. So COVID kind of hit them hard, I think, and so now they're looking to get into a building. They're doing a fundraiser at this event at the Pride in the Park. So they'll have a table, and we'll have, I think they're raffling off some pretty good prizes from what I heard from Nicole Hall, their president. And so they will have a table there, and you can check out all of the stuff that they have to offer. And it says here the event, they thought it was going to just be a little barbecue party in the park, but it's turning into a full-on event. So they're going to have DJs there, games, and they say family-friendly event for all ages. They just wanted to give the community a fun, relaxed setting to celebrate our beloved LGBTQ community, which I think is awesome.
I do too.
I really love their...
So help me, I'm going to steer people towards the flyer, but I don't see where it says where it is.
I think it's in
Berg Park.
It's in Berg Park. It's cropped. The flyer's cropped. But and we'll share the flyer on our page as well, so good, the community can see it. But yeah, June 19th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Berg Park. And that's coming right up. Yeah, so it's soon.
It's hard to believe, actually. This year is flying, where last year seemed to
really drag. Oh, my gosh, I know. I think we're making up for 2020 yeah. being so long. 2021's awful.
Yeah, we're deep into June already.
I know.
It's going fast. So speaking of going fast, so is this program. We're nearing the end of it. We thank you again for joining us. These have been tougher days for us, much more serious events. We hope to be back with a little bit more lighthearted. We'll pick on Scott a little bit more next time. We'll talk maybe training camp football's coming up soon.
Oh, boy.
We can do all of that. But for today, thank you for joining me, Nicole. And
thank you.
We'll see you next time here on The Cop Shop.
If not, this is a great time to get it. The high-quality health plans at healthcare.gov are now more affordable than ever. How much you pay is based on your income. 4 out of 5 people qualify for a healthcare plan of $10 a month or less. For free help enrolling, call healthcare.gov at 1-800-318-2596. 1-800-318-2596. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.